Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Tristan Walter.
Satish Ram could not make it tonight because he's off being a Pokemon champion. Yes, currently Satish Ram has been let into the Elite Four. Currently, if you're actually on the road to Elite Four through Victory Road, you could actually go on to fight some of the major players in the Pokemon League today, as well as Satish, who is currently the champion. Now, if you don't believe that, that's silly. Why would you not? That's completely factual. It's like when Tristan came back from the future during our Trunks, History of Trunks podcast, which you can also find on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. So, I mean, I don't understand why you would. Frost Giants actually destroyed our internet yesterday, which is why we could not do our Gotham show. So I don't know why you wouldn't believe that. Right, Tristan?
Of course, Matt. Whatever you say.
Yes, exactly. Whatever I say. I took that completely. Yes. So, today we're talking about Pokemon.
I get paid for every time I say that, right?
We don't have that kind of money here. Goodbye, Tristan.
Damn it.
I'm muting you. No, I'm not. But anyway, but seriously,
yes,
everyone, thank you. Thank you for listening in. And today we're talking about Pokemon Yellow. We also have a nice little surprise for you guys that we will talk about right now. Wait, no, we won't. We will talk to you about it at the end of our show. Or now. I don't know. It's just I'm so excited. You know what? I'll say it now. Just to get out of the way. Just to get all the jitters out of the way. Everyone who's listening, there is a chance that you could win free Pokemon. What Pokemon? Well, that's a surprise. But free Pokemon. That's true. If you like our Facebook page, if you like our Tumblr, which is our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, our Facebook, by the way, being Those Guys or Those Guys on the Radio, or you like our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, right, you can actually win up to 2 free Pokemon, very Halloween-themed Pokemon, but we're not telling you which, because surprise factor. But yes, if you like our Facebook, you like our Twitter, or you like our Tumblr, if I rather follow our Tumblr, or you follow us on Twitter, those are the right words to use for those specific media, you will be able to win up to 2 free Pokemon. Now, of course, we'll put your name in a raffle. Once you win, don't worry, we'll PM you, specifically to tell you, hey, you won. And then, of course, we'll be able to send you the Pokemon via, the new Pokemon X and Y and all those new video game things. I just got Pokemon X, everyone, so don't judge me. I don't know terms. I don't know things. But that will be handled by Satish Ram, who currently is the Pokemon champion. Pokemon League champion. Satish Ram. Hashtag Pokemon champion. So anyway, so now we're actually trying to talk about... It's happening. Shut up. It's happening. Shut the hell up. All right? Don't laugh at me. Shut your ass up.
Did you get that
up.
News from Professor Oak himself?
Speaking of Professor Oak, actually. See, all right. So usually, if you listen to our shows a lot, and if you're new, that's just fine too, but just letting you guys know, usually we talk about whatever it is we're talking about in order, right, when it comes to a move. We obviously cannot do that with this game, because we're not able to extend the show for a week. So as of right now, we're mostly going to talk about our experiences with the game, how much we enjoyed it, and some of the background knowledge that you guys may or may not know. And of course, if you guys want to call in, right, and you guys want to talk about let's say you want to talk about your Pokemon experiences, Pokemon Yellow specifically, what you enjoyed as a child when you first played it, when you first bought it, something like that, definitely call it, because we definitely want to hear what you guys have to say, because you're the fans, and we're also going to be sharing some of our experiences as well. The number to call in, by the way, is 718 864-9468. Or if you want to call in just to listen in or get someone else to listen in who can't through the internet, tell them to call in and don't press 1. The number again being 718-664-9468. So, you brought up Professor Oak. Very cool, interesting thing to bring up. And it's great that I didn't prompt you to even say that, which is wonderful. The idea of Professor Oak is very interesting because Professor Oak is a character who we obviously is, you know, professor, right? He's the nice guy that we, you know, that we talk to throughout the game. He tells us that we're never good enough whenever we catch really cool Pokemon. He always gives us advice, but in a way that kind of sounds condescending. Right?
Really?
You're usually sitting... I feel condescending sometimes, where it's like, use a rod to catch more Pokemon. It's like, thanks, man. That's what I've been doing.
Hey, bitch, you had 150 yet? Don't fucking talk to me until you are.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's how I feel about Professor Oak sometimes. That's the thing. So, but strangely enough, you know, the idea of battling Professor Oak would be completely, I mean, ludicrous, right?
Yeah. No,
but
I know what
you're
getting at. But
what if you could?
Yeah, it's actually still in the codes, in the game's original coding, that there is a battle with Professor Oak.
Yes, which is strange enough. There's a lot of stuff, you know, you can look up yourself. Very interesting stuff. You know, the fact that, and of course, this obviously was not used. So there's obviously a lot of things that, you know, are left on the cutting room floor. There's a lot of things that are not used in video games that are usually left in the coding that you kind of have to work your way through either with Game Shark codes or things like that. But a lot of adventurous people have gone on to see, you know, little things here and there about, you know, both red, blue, and yellow. We're talking about yellow today, but a lot of the coding that was unused in red and blue was also retained in yellow. Very interesting. Usually in gens, the coding is kept, sometimes even between games throughout the years, there's certain kind of coding that is just kept in there that is still unused. Not to this day, because we're on X and Y, but even for like the Game Boy Advance games, if I'm correct, there was some coding from like earlier games that was still left in there. But anyway, speaking of this specific, you know, issue right here, so Professor Oak is actually a battle sprite. Now, why does that matter? Because Professor Oak is only meant to be a sprite, you know, from behind, a back sprite that you would see, you know, because, of course, there's that moment in yellow when he catches Pikachu, right? So you're thinking, oh, yeah, that's just a normal sprite. But why is he, you know, why is there a sprite of him used in battle? And it's not just saying, oh, yeah, it's just a sprite, you know, that would be used in, you know, I believe, in the beginning. You know, because it's like, oh, someone just hacked that sprite in from the beginning. No, if you put in a specific Game Shark code, you can actually see, you know, his sprite. It says Professor Oak wants to fight, and you see the Pokemon that he has, which are actually, you know, he's programmed with three different teams, and in each consisting of a level 66 Tauros, a level 67 Exeggutor, a level 68 Arcanine, and a level 70 Gyarados. And his fourth Pokemon is either a level 69 Venusaur, Blastoise, or Charizard. So it's literally in there to assume that whatever Pokemon you chose as a starter, you know, in certain games would be, you know, of course in like red and blue would be, yeah.
He basically has the final evolved form of the Pokemon that is left behind at his lab that you or your rival did not choose.
Yes, of course. Now, of course, you're thinking, oh, but this is only in like red and blue. Yes, but the data still remains in yellow, which is why we're bringing it up. A very interesting thing. So, you know, it's very strange. Yeah.
An interesting point of Professor Oak's team, I mean, aside from Tauros and, you know, the starter Pokemon that he chose, Exeggutor, Gyarados, and Arcanine are also Pokemon that his grandson is prone to use within the games.
Which is very interesting. So you could see that maybe they just decided that the concept was used in X and Y. But as of at that point, they decided, you know what, let's just scrap this. You know, maybe it would be best if, you know, you fight people kind of that are around your level so that it doesn't turn into an idea of not Professor Oak being the bad guy necessarily, but, you know, the idea of, you know, you have to fight the professor, the person who I think in their mind maybe they just wanted to keep as like a nice old man, especially when it comes to the anime and stuff like that.
But, There's also... is also mention of the levels that his Pokemon are at. They're incredibly high leveled, suggesting that even the battle would be possibly even after the final title match with your rival in the Indigo Plateau.
Right. Yeah. So they were. I think at first they were assuming that he would be the rival, where he wouldn't have been Gary. So in other words, there would have been no Gary. It would have been Oak. And I think they decided, you know what? Maybe Gary.
I always thought of it so, as like, you know, oh, you've taken on the Pokemon League. You know, you've beaten my grandson. You've captured everything. Let's have one final test. Let's see if you can, you know, beat the professor who, you know, taught you what you know.
So then even then, they probably thought, at least they thought, too hard. You know, I mean, especially because it's interesting. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but definitely too hard. I mean, when you think about everything.
Well, maybe for us Americans.
Well, maybe me. Well, Japanese would have beaten that in a day.
Because, yeah, if you know anything about Super Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers 2 that we got was very different from the one in Japan. And the reason why they changed it was because they thought it was too hard for us.
Which is really funny because it's not even changed in the sense that they changed the game. Like, oh, we're going to change parts of the game. They just ported a different game.
Yeah.
With different sprites.
Yeah.
It wasn't even. How funny is that? We're just, let's just change the sprites and call it a day, shall we? Not even just different level. Because what's interesting is that if you want to argue about, you know, map change, you know, like level changes and whatever kind of changes, there are map changes in the Cerulean Cave. You know, also known as the Unknown Dungeon, you know, in Gen 1. Because you look at Red and Green, of course, they were the original in Japan. And those look pretty hard, man. You look at, you know, Blue. Because it's funny, too, because I remember the water in the cave. So I don't even know if I got that far in Yellow, which is weird, because I love Yellow. But I may not have gotten that far in Yellow, because in Red and Green, although technically Blue, you know, Red and Blue, for us Americans, North Americans, you know, the cave was different than the original Red and Green. But at the same time, the cave still looked pretty hard to me. Where in Yellow, it's very interesting, where Yellow was the one, I mean, you know, of course, like, okay, let's think of it like this, right? Red and Green, Japan only. Very hard. Look of just one cave, right? Just floor one. You look at Blue, which of course came out in Japan later. And then of course the international Red and Blue, it's a bit easier from the looks of it. It's a bit, you know, but still kind of hard, but the water and everything with surf, whatever. You look at the Yellow, which was, you know, just standard Yellow for everyone.
Right.
It's so easy. No water whatsoever. You don't even need to have a Pokemon with surf. You just walk around.
It's a lot more straightforward.
Yeah, it's a lot more straightforward, which is strange. You know, and then of course you look at, you know, for me, it's kind of funny. For me, floor two, it's just, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I just look at all three, and, well, I guess Yellow looks a bit easier. I still want to rip my eyes out.
Yeah.
If anyone, look at the floor plans for floor two of Cerulean Cave. Doesn't matter what version you're looking at, you're going to get a headache, and it's going to hurt. it's going to hurt. But, yeah, and, of course, the basement floor is, I mean, it's weird. It looks less straightforward in Yellow, but again, no water whatsoever.
Right.
So it's a very strange, no water whatsoever to throw you off. It's just walking, But yeah, so, there's a lot of stuff in there left over from, you know, the older, from, you know, Red and Blue. I mean, there's also Missing Number.
Oh, God.
Yes. Missing Number, the best and worst thing to ever happen to your game. There is no Missing Number.
Wait, what?
Missing Number does not exist.
Well, it's... What?
Missing... I'm not trying to just destroy your mind or anything, Tristan. Missing Number technically does not exist. Technically.
Okay.
It's only there because of errors. So
right.
It technically doesn't exist.
Okay, so you're saying you can't just run into it randomly. You have to basically hack the game with codes to get to it.
Well, not even through codes. If you remember, it's just if you confuse the game enough, can have it spring up missing numbers. But of course, codes can help as well. But just the idea of just, I'll be honest. I'm pretty sure codes, you know, can help, but really it's the idea of just tricking the game, thinking that it's loading up a different set of Pokemon from a different area to completely confuse the game and go into an area of actual Pokemon that don't exist. Because as you know, or as you may know, and some of you may or may not know, the original game was meant to have 190 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Did
and
not have
they were
that.
Later cut down and the leftover Pokemon were put into Gold and Silver.
Yes. Yeah, well, I would assume as much. Although there is still one Pokemon that is still unaccounted for, even in Gold and Silver, interestingly enough.
Really?
Yes. There is a Pokemon. It is a bird type. You see, Missing Number can take the form of many different Pokemon, right? And
yeah.
One of them that it takes the form of is a... And I think take the form in the sense that it's still Missing Number, like, you know, but there's different levels. Right, where some
right.
are just like, oh, that's pretty cool, level 197, right? But this number, this level is level 3, HP 15, and it's an unused bird normal-type Pokemon.
Right.
It has no weaknesses or resistances. And
yeah,
it, and
in
it,
the original
and it remains,
games.
Yes, and it remains unused.
Yeah,
in
the
Gold
extra
and
type, bird type that was never used.
Yes, which is still unused in Gold and Silver. So...
Right.
Other than that one, you know, yes, I'm sure many of the other Pokemon, at least in, you know, in different ways or whatever, were brought over. But it's very interesting with Missing Number because you confuse the game and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're in Cinnabar and you're scrolling, you know, you're going up and down the side and then, bam, Missing Number appears. And again, if any of you have funny Missing Number stories, you know, definitely call in again, 718-664-9468. Do you have any funny Missing Number stories, Tristan? Did you ever catch the beast?
Personally, I never went after Missing Number because I heard all the horror stories of, you know, people's games crashing
right.
after catching it, and I was very afraid of that kind of thing as a child, so I would always dread the fact of, you know, hearing people going, oh, I caught it, and I'm like, I hope I never run into that accursed fucking thing.
Yeah, right? You're just...
Because if I ever did, I probably would have, like, freaked out and, like, you know, ran away or some shit, like, dropped my Game Boy and just run into, like, the other room or something, going, oh, God!
So to you, Missing Number's the boogeyman. You didn't even understand the concept of finding it. You just thought, damn, if that thing popped up, I'm screwed.
Yeah, it was basically if that thing, like, popped up on my screen, I figured, you know, the apocalypse would happen to my Game Boy and it would just, like, die.
It got to the point where if someone told you that they got it, you just stopped being their friend. Just, I bought it. My game is not going near your game as if it's like your child. My game
yeah,
isn't getting your game's fucking sickness.
Yeah, a little bit.
I understand. I was that dumbass. So I have a Missing Number in my red. I don't know if my red is still intact. I haven't... Here's the thing. I think I saw it, but I'm not sure if it was a ghost of my red. Like, my red spontaneously combusted when I wasn't around, and red haunts my house. So I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I want to find it, and I want to turn it on. But now I'm wondering, Missing Number has been in my red for so long that it's become sentient. If I put it into my Game Boy Advance, it will take over the Game Boy Advance and plot world domination. It will then realize that it can't move on to the DS, nor the 2DS, and cry. Because honestly, no, you don't understand. It can't. The game won't even work.
It will.
No, it won't even find. It wishes. It wishes it was one of the other games, which, you know, if there were any glitches that you could exploit in there for a certain Pokemon, like, you know, etc. here, etc. there. You know, like, in other words, a shiny Arceus in Pokemon Black will probably be happier with Wi-Fi access. The corrupted, evil Wi-Fi access, then Missing Number will be in red, tearing up, wondering why it came from that gen. Why could I not access the internet and take over the world, Missing Number said as it cried. Please, everyone, send in your fanfiction.
Oh, God.
Send in your sad Missing Number fanfiction. Please. Send it over to our Tumblr. Send it over to our Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. Please do it. Because why not? Why not?
Oh,
no.
Speaking of which, you mentioned Cinnabar Island too, right?
Yes, I did, in terms of, you know, all of the, missing number stuff. But why? What do you have to bring
Yeah.
up?
No, there's actually, on the sides, on the west and east sides of Cinnabar Island, if you surf on the ocean and you stay right next to the land, the actual island, and you surf up and down along the sides, you can actually, there's a bug in the coding where you can run into Pokemon that you would find in a previous, in the previous region, in the previous patch of grass that you were just in before getting there. So say
well,
if you went to, say if you went to the Safari Zone and then you walked around in the patch of grass and then flew to Cinnabar Island and surfed right next to it, you would run into Pokemon from that specific patch of grass in the Safari Zone. Which makes the Safari Zone a hell of a lot easier.
Well, interestingly enough, that actually goes along with the missing number glitch. Because what happens is, and, you know, there are many different ways to, you know, glitch everything out. But I remember one of the ways is with the old man and fly, where if the old man looks at you and you fly, right, while he looks at you, because when the old man looks at you, right. So in other words, there's a way to get around the old man and never really have him teach you shit. Right.
Right.
Until later on in the game when you get fly. Where I remember if you're able to stay, you know, start, like click start the second he comes at you, you fly to Cinnabar Island. The game still keeps you in this weird battle mode type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go you know, to the side and everything, it. Actually, no, I'm so sorry. That's referring to Mew, actually. If you end up, I believe it was a Safari Zone glitch, though, because there's a way to fly out of the Safari Zone, but the game still thinks you're in the Safari Zone. So it's trying to gather up all this information, and then while you're on the side, you do get Pokemon, like Oddish at like level 130, I believe, and things like that. Now, I'm not sure if catching those Pokemon can mess you up, but obviously, yes, there are many situations where missing number can destroy your game data because you're not allowed to have it. Like, it's not supposed to be a thing. Also, by the way, do you know missing number's name in Japanese, Brian Jeremy?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Well, yes, you do. You don't even know it. It actually is Ketsuban, which translates into missing number. Yeah, how funny is that, right? I was like, do you know what it is? No. The correct answer is missing number. I knew it. Getting furious. It's just, and you've lost $1 million, Mr. Walter. How does it feel? I knew it. But yes, it's actually missing number. And there's an actual, it's very interesting, there's an actual Pokedex entry in Japanese for missing number.
Really?
Yes, in Japanese blue, missing number points, it's like it's data, right? It's a question mark, question mark, question mark Pokemon with it's 3.3 feet and 22 pounds. And its filler Pokedex entry says, comment to be written. However, in the English version, they keep a lot of things in the English version, you know, because, of course, you can get missing number in the English version. So, obviously, these things exist, and it's not even called Ketsuban. So, interestingly enough, they translated it to English in case it ever came up somehow or, if, you know, I guess for mostly the American coding or something, you know, because they have to translate everything. Even things that aren't used will be translated into English. So,
you know, God
number,
forbid Japanese suddenly came across the screen.
Well, it would be confusing. I mean, you know, I think it's just mostly with the coding where, you know, you have to, because it's an American game, it's all going to be in English. You know, only in later games are you able to have both, I believe. You know, I mean, in theory, you could have the Japanese pop up on the screen, but I believe it would be a lot more work to just keep in stuff in Japanese. So in the off chance that they wanted everything to work out well, you know, in terms of also different regions and different game modes and things like that, they wanted to make sure that it would all be in English. And I think just for the creators, I'm sorry, just for anyone working on it in America themselves, they can just tell whoever it is, hey, doesn't matter what it is, translate it all to English so that anyone working on the game in America knows what the hell they're dealing with. You know, I assume that would also work as well. But that would be awkward, where it's just, you know, wild, random Japanese appeared. It's a complete glitch. You're like, I'm nervous. You're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Right.
I'm frightened. Right? Like, that's just your first response to this game. I'm frightened. Someone told me to glitch out the game, and now there's Spanish on my screen. Like, you're 8? It looks like Spanish. Get out.
Shut up.
As a man who's Spanish, shut up. Mass message to kids of America.
Oh, God.
But we can talk about more stuff, you know, regarding the game's background, and I'm sure we will later. But one thing I want to ask you, right, just really kind of, because, I mean, we're about halfway through the show. What was your experience, like, you know, first getting Pokemon Yellow?
Well, it was funny. I had actually, when I started playing Pokemon, my first version was Crystal. And
so
I remember getting it. Yeah, I remember getting it for, like, my birthday or something. But I had also entered a contest recently. I think it was around the time the fourth Pokemon movie had come out in America. Hmm. And I won another Crystal version.
So we hate you.
Hate is gonna hate. But,
yeah, right.
So I had an extra Crystal version, and I was talking about it to one of my friends in elementary school, and he goes, oh, you know, my Crystal version, you know, I lost it, or, you know, it doesn't work anymore. You know, would you be willing to, like, you know, sell your extra one or something like that? And I'm like, now, you know, I'm maybe 8 at the time. I'm like, well, I'm not really interested in money.
Yeah.
So he says, okay,
yeah.
Well, we could trade. And I'm like, and I look at him inquisitively, trade?
Yeah.
As in what? And he goes, I have a yellow version that I don't really play anymore. And I had heard about it, and I had seen yellow version, and ever since then I had always wanted to play it. So as soon as he said it, I literally, like, whipped out the Crystal version and gave it to him and said, give me the yellow version.
Yeah, right? Just, he's like, awesome, you're going to give me the Crystal version. You punched him in the face and you left. Because that's the kind of child you were, Tristan.
Yes.
You never saw that kid again until you realized tonight he was me. Tristan, I'm going to kill you.
I'd love to see you try.
What's funny is that no one else knows, because I can see Tristan through his window. Nobody else knows that he just picked up a katana and he already had the helmet on. I don't know why he had a helmet on, but... But he just picked up his katana, and Tristan's ready to go. So we may have to end this show early, because I'm killing him, because I was that child.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't we settle this like real men and fucking settle it with a Pokemon battle, bitch?
I don't enjoy your language, but I agree. So later on, we should actually imagine just live on the air a Pokemon battle. No one can see anything.
Well, if we... there are ways.
No one can see anything, Tristan. Shut up.
Okay, we will narrate it then.
Yeah, right? The Pokemon cries, that was a Pikachu. We don't even say what happened during the fight. Just like, you just hear all the things moving. I might be choosing this move. But then I decided not to.
We'll put subtitles up, okay?
No one can see! What subtitles are they going to read, dumbass?
On the fucking video!
So you're saying we'll make a video where we... you know what? I'm done. Tristan, I don't know what's going on here. Just,
I'm not even going to take the time to form an argument against that.
I'm not even going to form... Because you can't argue against stupid.
You know why?
But then,
because I would win. That's why.
Yeah, you would beat me.
Because you're just afraid of losing
more of a
live
loser,
on the air.
Because I would win.
I guess we'll never know unless you, you know, man up and actually challenge me.
In the Japanese version of Pokemon Yellow... There was, you can go to hell. But no, there was, there was a Butterfree for Beedrill trade in game, which never happened, by the way. Right? So,
yeah.
There's one more thing, very interestingly. Yellow adds 2 more unused trades. Right? probably related to the removal of the in-game trades, because, you know, there's a bunch of in-game trades that have been removed, right? And very interestingly enough, one is Pidgeot for Pidgeot, apparently, and Mew for Mew. So, assumingly, I assume that at least Mew for Mew was simply made to, you know, for like, at the coder's amusement. And obviously, that's why it was never used. But it's still very funny to hear the words, "I'll trade your Mew for my Mew."
Yeah. Either that or maybe it was specific movesets.
Yeah, probably something like that. You know, there's a lot of things that it could have been. But in the Japanese Yellow, both received Pokemon, right, are nicknamed Matsumiya. Yes, Matsumiya. And people assume it's after Toshinobu Matsumiya, who is actually, you know, listed under the credits under Yellow for game scenario. And then the English version, of course, you know, keeps the unused trade data, because it's interesting, because, again, they never delete them. But the received Pokemon are changed, or their names are changed to Marty and Bart. I love it. Just, it's not, you know, hey, maybe they are, maybe Marty and Bart are, you know, people who worked on the English version, just really funny. Where it's just, hey, look, the man who worked on the Japanese version is named here. Cool, Marty and Bart. Right, like, but,
no, they probably, like, looked at each other and it's like, how do we translate that name? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, right? Just Marty and Bart.
Let's
how
just
great
go
is
with,
that,
like,
the
first four letters. Okay.
No, it's really funny. And when you think about it, it's like, just Matsumiya, Matsumiya. It's like, so it's like Matsumiya comes to America. What will my name be here? You know what I mean? I don't know if people can pronounce Matsumiya. Your name is Marty. Like, that's what your name is. Also, right, another change, right, because, okay, so in Red and Blue, right, which Angreon, of course, where there's the Butterfree for Beedrill, that trade in-game, right, which can happen in the, you know, can't, as we mentioned, that it can't happen in Red and Blue in America, you know, we already mentioned that, right, but in the Yellow version, what got changed, while still not being able to happen, Chiku Chiku, which is the name of Beedrill in Japanese, was now changed to Stinger. Still completely unavailable, which is really funny. But still, just like again, the idea of we need to change this to English so they know what they can add. Got it, boss.
Oddly enough, I wonder why they took that trade out.
Well, there could be many reasons.
Yeah, I mean, many reasons for it not, you know, appearing in the game, but it kind of would have been a useful trade, because if I remember correctly, at least when I played through Yellow, Caterpie was the more dominant bug type you would catch in the Viridian Forest, and Weedle was actually rare to find.
I think that's why. They may have just, there was a chance, like, think about it like this, they could have at first had a point where they weren't going to put Weedle in the game. But then they realized that Beedrill was worthless, in the sense that it's already an evolved Pokemon.
Oh.
Well, think about it. It's worthless in the sense that if you did that in Gen 2, then you could breed it.
Right.
But you can't do that in Gen 1. So in theory, it's like saying, here are your starters. This is Charizard, Venusaur, and why? Like,
yeah.
Because here are your starters, and you start with the fully evolved version. That would obviously be very, very difficult. So, you know, feel as if that might be why.
Mm.
You know, there's, and there could be many reasons, but I feel like that's one of the reasons where, you know, they just thought, you know what, we'll just make Weedle rare, and we'll make Caterpie a bit more abundant because, you know, the anime.
Yeah.
I mean, even though there were a ton of Beedrill trying to basically murder Ash. the fact that Ash caught his first Caterpie there was just like, yup, Caterpie is more abundant for reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think the first time I played through Yellow, I basically tried to catch a team just like, you know, just like Ash from the anime. I mean, you know, you had Pikachu. I believe there was a Pidgeotto that if you looked around enough, you could find in the Viridian Forest.
Looked, It's funny you say looked around. Yeah, there's a Pidgeotto at level 9. I believe
Yeah.
yellow 8 as well. It's very, very interesting because what's really funny too is that it isn't just a Pokemon Yellow thing. I mean, we'll talk about Pokemon Crystal when we get to Pokemon Crystal. Because, yes, we're not saying we're doing these weekly, but we are doing more, most definitely. I mean, we're huge Pokemon fans here at Those Guys and sometimes Gal. But anyway, so when it comes to Yellow, you think, oh, maybe that's just a Yellow thing. That's a quote-unquote glitch. Or, oh, maybe they did that because of the anime. I'm not too sure. Because you go into Crystal, and there are a lot of Pokemon. Like, it's like level 31 Rhydon. And you're like, that's not a thing. Because if you know, Rhydon evolves, I believe, at level 41.
Right.
So to have a level 31 Rhydon, it's like, that's weird. Yeah, they do that a lot. They do it where, like, Golbats, I believe, or, you know, or a lot of other Pokemon are at levels. Like, you know, like, oh, I remember now. Before you get to Ekrutik, there's, like, a level 16 Pidgeotto. And it's like, that's not legit. That's not. And they do that for a lot of different Pokemon, which are very interesting because, you know, maybe they just are making it a bit easier to catch certain Pokemon. I mean, it started in that
Right.
game, in Yellow, where you're like, this looks like a glitch. But then you realize, you know, Ash did catch a Pidgeotto in that forest, and there's a
Yeah.
chance that they maybe didn't want the idea of, you know, well, we have to make him catch a Pidgeotto, but it can't be, you know, can't be like 18 just yet.
Yeah.
So that may have been why.
Right.
But still, and another very interesting thing though, because it's just even if, you know, that is why it happened, it's still, you know, level 9 Pidgeotto, which, I mean, I guess made some kids happy. But of course,
Yeah.
as you mentioned, very hard to find in the forest. Like the only way you're able to find it is if you're looking for a Weedle in there. And then
Yeah.
bam. And it's like, oh, you're new.
I mean, I definitely trained a Butterfree while I was in there too.
Obviously,
And of
as
course,
many did.
as soon as I got to, our best friend Brock, I soon realized Ash is a retard.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just, I'm gonna fight rock with electric. Well, I
Yeah, I'm
can't
gonna go
do that,
fight a rock
Ash.
gym. I'm gonna go fight a
So you
rock
can go to
gym
hell.
with a flying type, an electric type, and I think he still had a Metapod at that point.
Yeah,
Or maybe it
screw
was,
him.
I can't actually remember, but it was like, again, nothing that's going to help you against,
That's
rock
why
type.
I really enjoy the Pokemon games for actually giving you an array, you know, a very large set of characters that you can use. Like you can use like a Mankey to use a
Right,
fighting, you
yeah.
know. Yeah. Because they realize, wait a minute, this is actually not good logic.
This
Yeah.
is
But
not
anyway.
gonna work.
No. But also I'd like to mention, before you got to mention your Pokemon story, I didn't mention mine. So I would like to mention mine. I have a
Okay.
very weird story where I honestly don't remember what I played first. I was very young at the time. I can tell you for sure that, you know, my mom, you know, was the kind of mom who would just buy me all three games and just go, "You wanted all three, right, honey?" And I was like, "I love you, mother." So I
Yeah.
really should go thank her today because she was, you know, nowadays we don't do that obviously because it's just like I have friends who will get the other game. But at the time, let's all pretend that I didn't have friends. Where's the
Wink.
sad music? Cue the damn sad music. I'm gonna cry. So anyway, so I just got all three, and I would trade between them sometimes. And I was in various points in beating them, and it feels bad because I think I was a fan of Red. I don't remember because you know Charizard. I
Yeah.
barely remember playing Blue. Like I may just turn it up, like you know, like just find it in my home and put it on to see what happened in there. But I barely remember Blue and Yellow. Oh, beautiful, beautiful Yellow. I think I just exclusively either trained Pikachu or I trained Pidgeot to the point where I distinctly remember, and I mean distinctly remember, having a level 90 Pidgeot and a level 50 Pikachu. Don't know what happened there.
How the fuck?
I don't know. And I think last time I checked, or last time I remember, didn't even beat the Pokemon League. So obviously, I have
Well,
no idea. Just none
yeah.
whatsoever. Yeah. But anyway, so of course, though, you know, while I loved a lot of the things in Yellow, I really think I focused a lot more on Red, strangely. Because I don't, and it's funny, because, you know, now I really have to think about it. But in my old age, I have to think about it. But when I was younger, I could swear to you that I loved Yellow the most. and I don't know why. Like, I really don't understand what's going on there. But, I mean, hey, it happened. Your story's weird because, hell, you didn't even mention the best part of your story, which I was going to save for Crystal, but I'm happy it tied it anyway for our Crystal podcast. In that Crystal game that you won, what did you win, you son of a bitch? Tell them.
I booted up the game, and there was already a save file, so I figured, oh, this is interesting, and I loaded it up, and the trainer was already standing in his room, and I'm like, okay, this is odd, and I already had a full team of Pokemon. The team was a level 5 Celebi, a level 5 Surfing Pikachu, a level 30 Shiny Suicune, and all level 30, all Shiny, the Legendary Birds. Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno. I nearly... my jaw fell off. I couldn't believe what I was actually looking at.
Okay. Now, what did you think as a kid? Did you think that God gifted you that, or did you understand that you won it because you won the contest?
I understood that I won it through the contest, but I figured it was, you know... I don't know, some kind of magic and some kind of hocus pocus that they, you know, had these in here already and I didn't, you know, hadn't even started the game yet. Only did I later realize when I tried to trade the said team to another version that they were gotten through with codes.
Right, so there was no way of trading them through, strangely enough.
Because it glitched the fuck out of my silver version.
Oh, and you sure it wasn't because of the fact that you maybe shut it off too early?
Nope.
Because they were in both versions, like as if you cloned them.
Yeah,
you have no idea.
I traded them over. I went to go get them from the box, and Silver version just said, nope.
Interesting. But they were still in your Crystal, though, you mentioned.
Yes. Yeah.
So you may have accidentally cloned them somehow. Though it would be very interesting if even back then they were trying to not have Pokemon be clones or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, events, thank you. Because even now let's say, right, using Pokemon X's Pokebank system, you're unable to bring, like, Shiny Celebi and things like that.
Right.
You know, like, just recently, not Shiny, but just recently, a Celebi was given out via Pokemon X's Pokebank, right, the event. And you were actually unable to trade it over. So I can't trade it to you. But thankfully, you got Pokebank, didn't you? Like I told
didn't
you to. And you got Celebi.
Right.
You didn't.
Yeah, definitely.
You're an idiot. $5 a year, Tristan.
I know.
It's okay. You still have this. Hey, don't worry, everyone. He still has Shiny Celebi. Still turns on, everyone. Please, don't go to Selden and kill him now. Please.
What?
Do
so
it
you
later,
can loot,
after our show.
So you can loot my body and take it for yourself?
I'm already at your door. But anyway, so... Pokemon Yellow, right? Getting back to that old thing. I think you could clone Pokemon in there as well.
Probably.
I mean, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure you can. There are a lot of very interesting, things when it comes to codes and everything. I mean, hell, there's actually an unused entrance in Celadon City.
Really?
Did you know? Yes. Okay. Remember there are these two houses that don't have doors? There's a door that was removed in the final version. So if you put in a code, apparently the map to the door still, like, exists. Like, the map, the door, lead in or something.
Right.
And so apparently if you put in the right codes in the Celadon department store, depending on, you know, where you are in the store, I believe it's the fifth floor, you can actually find your way, like, in a block, basically. Because, you know, where there was the door for one of these houses, your character's just standing there like, hey, man, can't move from here. Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Because obviously, when you transfer there now, it's all, you know, I believe in code terms, because I have used some, you know, I've barely looked into Pokemon hacking, but I believe some of the codes do match up with some RPG Maker event stuff. So for the layers, I believe they're code zero, which means that you can't go through them because they're zero. So code zero, right, like if you were to turn your Pokemon game into just complete, you know, codes in terms of the map itself, zero would mean I can't pass through it, like a sign or, you know, rocks or trees and stuff like that. And, of course, certain events are a bit different because certain events you can access them by, like, touching them and headbutt and stuff like that. But in terms of, like, just a house, right, that's zero because you just it's just something you can't pass through. It's like I can't move through it. So in that case, you know, that's where you're transported into code zero, and you're sitting there on the rock, like, I'm sorry, in the, on the, you know, house thing. It's like, dude, I can't make it in. Yes. Oh, we have ourselves a caller. I'm going to put him or her through right now. Hello, caller.
Hey, I'm not dead.
Oh, hello. It is Satish Ram, who has come back from being the Pokemon champion. How was your day, your first day as the Pokemon champion in the Pokemon League?
These people don't let me get a break. I'm trying to tell them I have shit to do. I have an important podcast to make. And they're like, listen, when you make eye contact, you have to battle with these people. And I'm like, shit, pisses me
off. It's really bad, too. Like, I've heard some stories. I know this is Fish's first time today, but he's been texting me on and off. And he's saying, I've tried to pretend that I'm blind. I've tried to just, you know, but no matter what. Like, you know, it's very interesting. That's why with many of the gym leaders, they don't even want to contact you. You actually have to, like, click on them. Like, that's why Brock squints. He never wants to fight anybody. He's a pacifist. I mean, he loves all Pokemon. So take your thoughts on Brock.
Yeah, it's a genius idea, but, I mean, obviously, since he's the first gym leader ever, he kind of took it. And everyone else is like, well, great, now we can't squint. We have to look at them, but we're just not going to run up to you. I mean, and some of them make you work for it. I mean, if you play through Gen 2, I mean, you have to find them. Hell, you have to run into Misty on a date, and then you have to piss her off, and then she'll battle you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's accurate. That's accurate. You know that's accurate.
Yeah,
that's
completely
accurate. So, you know, just getting back to Gen 1, we actually haven't brought up Mew yet, which is very interesting. We'll talk about Mew in just a second, everyone.
No.
I was saving Mew for you.
Okay.
But anyway, so Satish, you're calling in because you've gotten a break, right, from your long, extensive work being a Pokemon champion. And you're now here to talk to us about Pokemon Yellow for the limited time that we have left. So what I want to ask you is, what was your first experience playing Pokemon Yellow?
Well, Pokemon Yellow was the first Pokemon game I got my hands on. So it holds a really near and dear special place in my heart. And I really enjoyed it because I got it also by being a fan of the television show. So with Yellow mirroring what was going on the television show with Ash, it made it that more special for me because I wasn't aware that Red and Blue at the time were out, even A, or B, that they did not mirror what went on in the show. So
right.
I just assumed that that's the way it was supposed to go. You get a Pokemon game, and you get to be Ash. And being, like, maybe, I think, five or six at the time, when I got it was a big thing for me because I used to think Ash was great. So playing through as Ash, I was like, this is awesome. I mean, I think I even named my character Ash because in my head I couldn't name him anything that wasn't Ash. You know, plus,
oh, why would he not
you know. Yeah, so, and not knowing of anything of, like, the Japanese lore of, like, having Red and Green and all the actual trainer names by colors and stuff. So he was Ash to me. And there were just a lot of things about the game that made me really amused as a kid. I mean, one of them being able to look back at Pikachu and he would give you expressions. Being able to play through with the character, you know, the Pokemon that Ash got, but to train them higher. And there were just, it was a real amazement for me. And I really just spent hours and hours in that game. So great memories with Pokemon Yellow.
You know, happy you brought up Red and Blue. I learned Pokemon, strangely enough, I think either before or while the anime was on. I learned about it through, through some friends of mine, some friends that live in Ohio right now. You know, shout out, even though they're not listening. Hi, Alex. Hi, Chris. Maybe they will one day. I'll send them the link. They're like, I mentioned you on the radio. Give me royalties. I need money. Anyway, so but what is it? So, yeah, so the idea that, you know, they were showing me, like, I think Pokemon Red, and I didn't have it yet. And I was just like, hey, Mom, I would like these games. And she was like, you mean all of them? And I think she got me Red, Blue, and Yellow. I'm pretty sure she got me them at the same time. I was like, thanks, Mom. So, you know, I was telling Tristan about this before. But the idea that, yeah, like, it's weird. Like, it feels like I was only focused on yellow, even though apparently I think I did a lot of my red. We were discussing before how I believe I caught missing number in my red, and if we booted it up again, it would probably be sentient and
right.
take over the world, or at least try, but then realize that it's stuck in the earlier gen and it can't even connect to Wi-Fi. So then it would be really sad and depressed.
Well, you never know. I mean, we've seen in Gravity Falls that even if you put a disc or a game inside something that isn't connected to electricity, if you give it enough time, it can still do things. So I would
true.
Be really, really afraid of that cartridge.
Yep, so I'm going to boot it up tonight. And if this is my last show, happy to be talking to everyone. And, yeah, very good show. Yeah.
See,
wow,
I tried
wow.
to warn him, but he wouldn't listen to me.
I did, too.
No,
you heard me. I mean, people are going to be sitting there, like, after, you know, he dies because of this. They're going to be like, look, you had podcast partners telling you don't do this. And
yep.
then he was like, I'm going to do it anyway. There's
we
nobody
the
going to be feeling bad for you.
I have to be honest. I'm the dumbass who, as a kid, caught missing number. And I honestly, I feel as if I want to say that I've grown, but then I'm also the one trying to reboot it now. So I don't know if I haven't grown or if I've grown, but I want to look back on those memories and just be like, I'm a kid again, and then have it eat my face.
Just record everything, though. Make sure it's like there's a little journal so we can find it, like in the Pokemon Mansion in Cinnabar, where it's
oh,
like,
God.
Day one, have booted up cartridge. Day one, 5 minutes later, huge mistake, run for your life. That's it. It gets cut off right there. We get one page of the journal.
Day two, it's grown legs. I'm not impressed. Day,
day three, day it takes over your body and it's writing the journal entries for you.
Oh,
day three, missing number is fun. It has never even existed. Question mark? Got to go.
Day four, missing number, snappy dresser, very friendly.
Day five,
got
who's missing number? I'm Matt Marrero.
And so it begins.
Yes. Day 5.1. Why can't I fly? Why am I so normal?
If
but,
I look into your eyes the next time I see you and I see Glitch City, I'm running for my life.
Like, it's just, why are you running, Satish? Why are you running?
I have no counter to missing, though. I never even encountered it in my earlier games. So apparently I was the dumbass who couldn't trigger it. Everyone else could,
yeah, no.
but me.
Thank you. I must ask you a question, because now I have you on the air. We were having a debate earlier. By debate, I mean we were both confused. You sparked missing number via the old man in Viridian?
That's part of it.
Okay.
But I use the only glitch that I successfully pulled off, I believe, in yellow was the Mew glitch.
Yes, and Mew glitch involved the old man, a trainer that you never fought,
right,
the,
to the west of Lavender, and yeah. you actually had to press start as soon as the trainer had made eye contact with you to coincide
yeah.
with the exclamation point and fly away.
Yes. Yes, that I remember, but, which we didn't bring up just yet, but I was wondering about the missing number glitch, because for some reason that always confused me. It involved Safari Zone or the old man?
Yeah, I believe there were a few ways to trigger it, to be honest with you.
Okay,
because
good,
the games
good.
Were coded really, really badly, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But if I remember
okay.
correctly, it could come up. It came up easily in yellow compared to the others. And whatever came up, it would be determined partially on your name. I don't know if I'm wrong or right there. But I remember that depending on part of your name, it would... It can be glitched because of that. You get a different sprite because of it. Because remember, there were a few different sprites.
Yes. Also, with missing number also came, I remember Tristan brought it up, the idea of a level 130 Oddish.
Mm-hmm. There were stuff like that could come up.
Yes. Interesting, as I'll say the least.
But
very,
the old man and Safari Zone way to get missing go are connected, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
They are the
okay.
same thing. Like, if you look up, I don't know what if they call it the Safari Zone glitch or the old man glitch, but if you look up an
right.
old man glitch, you'll probably find the
right. Thank
the
you.
What is the connected old man to fight Safari Zone Pokemon way to find missing no.
Now, if you heard us bring up Mew a lot in this show, and you're wondering, before we have to end this show, why are they bringing up Mew so much? Well, first off, Mew is available in Pokemon Yellow, but only in two ways, through Glitch or through, I assume, game events, where you go to these Nintendo events and they give you Mew. So Mew is in Pokedex data, but of course
Correct.
You can't go and catch Mew unless you glitch your game. Basically, in the way that Sazisha I mentioned, old man, right? Then trainer. Then you fly back to Lavender. And when you move to your left a bit, when you go into the next route, the game triggers immediately as if you're still in battle mode, and then Mew appears. And it's like, hi,
yeah.
I'm Mew.
The menu comes up, you get to cancel it,
yes.
because the game thinks the whole time that you're in a trainer battle.
Yes.
So it's a really oddly intricate glitch, but when you look into all the steps and realize why the game is going crazy, that's what happens.
Yes.
It was awesome, I mean, to get a Mew in Pokemon Yellow that way, because it is, like, in arguably what you would consider a completely legitimate Mew, in terms of if you catch it, it doesn't, like, turn into a Pidgey. It is actually a Mew. You can train it as a Mew, and
right.
that's basically for most of us here in America, because I'm not sure how many Mew events, or if there were any for us in America, that
right.
I think that was basically your only shot to get a Mew in Pokemon Yellow.
It's not like some people just win cartridges in contests, do they, Tristan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who would ever... oh, boy.
I'll tell you about this later, Satish. This son of a bitch over here.
No, I remember.
Anyway.
I remember why I don't like him. It's okay.
Yes. Right. Okay. So before we go, we would like to mention, just to, you know, confuse you, Tristan, so and make you scared and nervous and frightened. So basically, what's going on is, of course you can get Mew in Yellow, and there are Mew sprites in Red and Blue as well.
Yeah.
And Mew in and Blue.
No, they're not. There's a sprite in Blue and there's a sprite in Green. But in Japanese Red, that's not a sprite. That is literally the combination of my nightmares that I've had from ages, like, 4 to 12.
Right. So if you look up Pokemon Red Mew Sprite, you'll see a deformed Phantom of the Opera-looking Mew. That they could only, because of the fact that, you know, the notes that were in Yellow, of course, in Pokemon Mansion, are also in Red. And Red and Blue were created before the anime. You can safely assume that they thought, oh, some creature that you find in the wild on some island known as Guyana, of course it's going to look creepy as hell. You know, primordial and all that crap. And then you look up again, Pokemon Red Mew Sprite. And you're going to piss your pants.
Yeah, and what's worse is that if you've seen things like if you've seen the first movie, which most Pokemon fans have, or you've at least played into the later games and you've seen some of the sprites of Mew, they're kind of cute, adorable, and they've got a playful kind of nature to them. And you've got, like, the anorexic brain eater in Japanese Red. And I don't know what struck them to sit there and think, somehow, between the people who made the movie and the people who made the game, that let's not freak out our children right now. We still have 5 more generations to create. You know, let's not scare them away with Mew and give them all nightmares like it did to me.
Yeah, I assume that's why, because, of course, it's just, oh, wait, we can market this now. I mean, not saying it's all about money, but it's just, oh, wait, we can market
this
now.
It is all about money.
It is. But, oh, let's, you know, we can actually put this in anime and stuff. So that's what we'll do, which is nice. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, again, it doesn't look frightening. But, hey, again, guys and gals, look it up later, everyone else. Look, you know, whatever you're associated with. Look it up later. Just please, just look up later, and you'll see. It's frightening. It's our nightmares. So, yes, so... we are almost at the end of our show. I mean, let's see. Tristan, you talked about your Pokemon Yellow experience. I did as well. Satish, you did. Satish, you have anything else to add? I know you weren't able to hear the early part of our show because, well, you know, Pokemon League. But are there anything else you want to add, and, you know, maybe to the Pokemon, you know, either glitches or any cool background stuff? And we already talked about Professor Oak. We talked about the differences between some of the floors, you know, in Cerulean Cave between the different versions. We talked about, what else did we talk about, Tristan? I'm testing you.
You talked about how much you hate me and winning that crystal version.
That is true. We did talk about that. But is there anything else you want to bring up, Satish, before we have to go? Because, yeah, all the time in the world.
Just arguably, I mean, if there was a somehow miracle chance that they would remake Pokemon Yellow. I don't think they ever will, but
yeah,
I think that would be a hell of a moneymaker, or releasing it on the Nintendo Store.
There was actually word that they were going to have a remake Pokemon Thunder Yellow for the DS, but I believe either due to time restraints or not enough funds to do it, or multitude of other reasons, they dropped the project.
Which
I was incredibly
strange,
put down when I heard that.
What's strange is that also is the name of a ROM hack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, because they don't get crazy creative with their remake games. Like, Fire Red, Leaf Green. Yeah, wow. Soul Silver and Heart Gold were kind of cute, but just... they're not exactly incredibly... Omega and Alpha, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire is a little bit pushing it too, where it's like, we're trying here, guys. Give us credit.
I'll give them credit. I mean, that's actually trying for me, in my opinion. Because for some reason that... I can see the train of logic, but that was a lot, different than, hey, look, it's ground ruby. Yes, and it's water sapphire.
That doesn't even roll off the tongue, so that would have been pathetic if they actually...
Water
sapphire! Oh.
Yeah. Watery sapphires! Grounded rubies! Here are your games. Accept them. They're in 3D now.
I'll be interested when they get to, Neon Topaz or some shit.
I'm going to be
very
excited.
You heard it here. Pokemon Topaz confirmed.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be excited for Super Duper Diamond, and just strangely unneeded Pearl. I'm going to love those.
Not gonna
I'm going
lie to you. If someone markets me a ROM hack and says strangely unneeded Pearl, you may have my money.
Well, you've heard it. Those guys are making a ROM hack called Strangely Unneeded Pearl, where it's going to be filled with... We're going to have to make two ROM hacks, though. One of Diamond, where every Pokemon is available except for one. And then put that damned Bidoof into Pearl.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And that's the only new Pokemon we're going to have in Pearl is a Bidoof. Because that's how we roll.
Oh, Bidoof. Once king of memes, now reduced to... actually almost banned in Pokemon competitive battles, if you know that story. But
it's fairly
poetic accurate. Justice.
Yes.
What?
But that's poetic justice, said Tristan. But yeah. So, before we have to head off, seriously, anything else? Anything? Any crazy stories maybe about Yellow at all? Anything? I want to get the scoop. I want to get the inside story. Anything nuts? Any Pokemon? How was competitive battling back in our day when we were children and didn't know about competitive battling? How
was
it back then?
We all used legendaries.
Whoever used fucking Hyper Beam first won.
Basically, right? Just whoever used the Hyper Beam was the winner because everyone else was just like, darn it.
No, that reminds me, though, in the later gens, in 6, they actually did that little cool throwback where if you use Hyper Beam in Gen 6, you hear the sound from the Gen 1 games, which is a really cool little throwback, and it just takes me back to remembering, what we thought was advanced at the time, now looking back at some of the move animations, were incredibly, incredibly troubling. Seismic Toss being one that comes to mind, always.
I think it's great that when my Raichu uses Strength, it's referring to not Yellow, but referring to Crystal. When my Raichu uses Strength, it's picking up bits of the Earth. Its Strength is just, I pulled up the Earth, and I'm throwing it at you.
Yeah, animations in Gen 2 were kind of cooler, because they had, the color, the kind of flash of that new game, really taking advantage of the Game Boy Color. But, Seismic Toss, you literally turn, you could, if you didn't watch the anime, a kid would be sitting there thinking, I have turned my opponent into a bomb and dropped him.
Which is not a good thing to think about. Just, I've turned my opponent into a bomb.
No, especially when this was a game that if you really looked into it, there are hints of that there was it's a post-apocalyptic game. There are hints that there was a war that went on and that you are now living in the post-war society. And I do believe in that theory.
Oh, I do as well. How do you feel about that, Tristan?
Oh, the what, the post-war site?
Yes. Hey, Lieutenant Surge, motherfucker.
Your
move.
Surge is actually, it's funny, because Tristan, I know you could be sitting there, like, have you not heard the theory, or?
No, I have heard of the theory. I'm actually kind of a fan of the theories that come out of the Pokemon games, because they're basically just obscure enough to be like, huh, wow, that was really interesting. You honestly have no other better use of your time, huh?
Yeah,
but
no,
at the same time, it's, like, usable. It's like, well, it's not like it's not possible.
Yeah, because look at Surge, and Surge is the best example because of the fact that he is not an elderly guy. He is, at the worst, middle-aged, you know, and he comments to you that electric Pokemon kept him alive during the war, and you sit there thinking, this cannot have been that long ago, and it's also promoted by the fact that you as a kid are allowed to go out and do this kind of stuff.
Right.
In terms of, like, because Pokemon have basically defined this new post-war era, and because of that, there's no more weaponry.
Yes, I would argue that it's also kind of like a – I'm sure this is something that America could have made as well. But looking at a lot of the Japanese kind of backstory and things like that, they really would make something in terms of, like, you know, anti, like, after a war, you know, with what they've gone through after war, you know, after strife, kind of just having this, like, oh, you know, we're just going to kind of be a free, you know, like free-flowing kind of, you know, yeah, these kids are going to do these things, but, I mean, it's not like anything bad is really going to happen to them. And, of course, you fight with these Pokemon, which at first you're like, oh, Pikachu, a mouse Pokemon. It's like, you mean, you know, Rattata, another mouse. And it's like, but why would that happen? Radiation. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, it sounds like, at first you kind of laugh because you're just like, oh, you know, and of course I understand your point too, Tristan. It's like, in a way you're like, this seems like we're kind of, you're reaching a bit here. But then at the same time, you have just someone thrown in there like Lieutenant Surge. Because of course, you know, at least in the near future, I assume, Nintendo will not be making a Pokemon War game. I mean, maybe. I don't know what's going to happen after Omega and Alpha. But, I mean, as of right now,
Pokemon,
like, there's no Pokemon
War game.
Yeah, exactly. Pokemon Call of Duty. If you didn't like normal Call of Duty, now it's Pokemon Call of Duty. Why would you step away?
Well, they're already making Pokemon Tekken, so, I mean, we're taking a step in that direction. I'm just saying.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What?
Have you not heard
of
that?
That.
You don't know of that? The Pokemon tournament?
Yeah.
No.
It's totally not an inside joke that Tristan's just backing me up on because we're trying to make you look bad.
Oh, definitely. No, we're not screwing with you in, you know, any sense of the word.
No.
This is a real thing.
Right.
Is it a thing? Is it a thing with Lucario or something? No?
Okay.
Maybe. Lucario is a fighting type. I mean, it would kind of make sense to have a fighting type in that proverbial game if it were to be real, right?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
See, I've heard talks of it, but I thought it was literally just people, like, making it like a card thing, like a card battle thing. Did not realize it was actually regarding, like...
No, this is actually a thing.
Yeah, there's a trailer out and everything, actually.
I believe it's set to come out in 2016?
Sounds about
and
right.
What would it be made for?
By then, who knows?
The PS17.
I was going to say the 4DS with multiple screens.
For Japan, it's supposed to be released in Japanese arcade games for 2015.
Starting out.
And international releases / for systems has not been released yet, the date.
Obviously.
But the game is in the works.
If they're smart, which sounds like a weird thing to say when it follow up with what I'm about to say, but if they're smart, they don't go for system release. Hey, guess what? Go to either, you know, our approved areas, you know, to play the game in, like any kind of hobby shop or whatever, or go to a Nintendo store near you. Mind you, we live in New York.
True.
We just play the game in the Nintendo store. There's all these kids. I want to play the game. Listen, kid. Listen, all right? You're a kid. You got so many years left on this earth. I'm 22. Like, I'm closer to death, so I should probably play more. Goodbye. And then the kid's just sitting there just like, wow, You're a jerk.
Hmm?
I'm winning.
So this is Matt's.
I love how there's silence
future.
From both of you.
No, I'm just sitting there, like, I don't know, do I spin it back to the Pokemon War theory and be like, you have no father, and your rival has no parents, which hurts.
Ah, which, yes, that is true, which is very interesting. How, you know, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of random things here and there. Because at first you're like, oh, yeah, the rival has no dad, and of course it's just a running joke for normally the rival doesn't have a dad, normally. But, or in some games, the professor wants to date your mom.
I'm just going to assume that, like, Professor Sycamore in Gen 6 is just a smooth-talking motherfucker, where he just...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thinks he's just this gorgeous piece of hot shit, and I'm like, you could do better.
I'll
Hey, why don't you come back to my lab, and I'll show you all 606,000,000.8 Pokemon in my special bank storage.
I just feel like you're just like... Did Professor Oak used to go around and be like, hey, you know what muck is backwards? Because I can show you.
I was also going to bring that up for the war theory. When you spoke about nuclear radiation,
yeah.
Fucking look at Grimer coughing.
Well, Electrode being basically a bomb.
That too.
You know, are little things that really... it's funny how you described it because, yeah, there is a moment where you sit there and think, you have thought about this a lot. But, you know, you can also sit there and think... But at the same time, it's really hard... The only way you can really disprove it is just by sitting there by going, like, that's stupid. Because it's probably one of the most followed theories in terms of Pokemon games because it's really hard to find a way to dispute that, I think, because part of it is... You know, you could assume that maybe, like, Lieutenant Surge, I think, in Japanese was basically directly translated to be, like, Lightning America or something like that.
Yeah, of course. So, like, Mr. American.
Yeah, you know, so he was, like, it could have just been, like, okay, we put a war vet guy in here, not thinking of the large standard of, does that mean there was a war in this game, but just, like, a generic war vet character. So there are reasons, you know, but... It's kind of fun to believe in these theories because I like to think that game creators or TV show creators are in this little cult of, like, let's do this and make them all think they're stupid, but when they realize it, you know, just make them feel stupider.
Here's another really good internet.
Be like, you're wrong. You're stupid. Ha ha ha. Laugh at this person. And inside, they're like, how did they figure it out? What the fuck?
By the way, before I continue, I'd like to mention, the show was meant to end during a full hour course, as we usually do with some of our non-wrestling shows. But because Stitch has given our time to this show that, you know, he's taking away from his career as a Pokemon trainer, we're giving him the extra half an hour with us because we really enjoy him being on the show. I mean, you know, being the guy who helped me create this show and the fact that it's normally the two of us, you know, it's a really special thing to have you on, you know, throughout all of your Pokemon training. And, of course, let's not forget Tristan, who came back from the future.
I can tell when I'm not wanted, Matt. I'll go. If you two want to have a moment alone, I'll leave.
Yeah, no, I was just, even me, I'm sitting here like, Matt, you know, we podcast a lot. Like, that was really nice. Like, it makes it seem like I'm going to die tomorrow or something. Like, I'm appreciated
Satish,
already.
Satish,
you didn't need
Satish,
to do
I know
that.
Your health. I don't want to risk anything.
We don't need to talk about my health. Let the listeners believe that I am Lieutenant Surge. That I am the pinnacle of Lightning America.
He is the new champion. I mean, you know, if you look at the Pokemon manga, Pokemon Adventures, the Elite Four could just, you know, come for him any day now and just literally kill him, and no one would know.
This is true. I mean, I think
That's
I'd rather
a
be a gym
one.
Leader. I'd almost rather be
That's
a gym leader because all of them have, like, these dark stories. Secondly, there's no dark gym leader, and with dark Pokemon being my favorite type, it frustrates me throughout the years that there has still not been a dark Pokemon leader, only Elite Four, which is kind of cool, but so I'd love to be a gym leader, and then we'll see what happens from there. I mean, I wouldn't have existed in Gen 1, which is what we're talking about, so I guess that kind of bites. Gen 1, the same gen where there was only one Dragon-type move, and because of that, dragons were incredibly overpowered because... Basically, nothing was super effective against them.
But dragons were. There's actually unused coding that says this dragon move was super effective. Like, dragons are super effective against dragons or something like that.
But all they released was Dragon Rage. And since Dragon Rage was a set 40 damage at the time, that was being one of the broken things. It's funny because you asked earlier about what competitive would have been like. Well, dragons would have ran extremely rampant. And secondly, a Pokemon like Alakazam wins the world. Because, Tristan gets this right away. And Matt, I don't know if I've explained this to you as much.
You have. It's fine.
Yeah, the special stat in Gen 1. So this is a thing where if you're sitting here who haven't played that much or you don't remember much of Gen 1, you're playing like the newer ones. So now you see stats from Gen 3 on, I think even, it was Gen 3 on or so, that there was a split between special attack and special defense. So the original stat that was listed as special in the early Gen 1 was a combination of those two. But because of that, a Pokemon like Alakazam, which has incredible special attack, also had incredible special defense and could basically tank any of the major competitive types because moves weren't specifically special or physical back then. They were listed by types. So Alakazam could basically run roughshod over everything with dominant stats because of the lack of a split in that stat.
So I have a strange feeling that even the Pokemon was competitive. There was a way that it was so, and I was underground probably because it was a new thing, quote unquote. And I don't say underground so much because, of course, at the time it's like, but Pokemon was the hugest then. But I feel like for certain people may have given up because of that feeling. Or
yeah, no, and
for the entire
even
team of Alakazam
weren't relevant until the later gens. So I would argue that it really wasn't until about Gen 3, because abilities and all that, that there was a direct split to, like, competitive battling.
Yeah. Because I never really heard, like, people talking about actual competitive battling until around Gen 3. I mean, I would just hear Pokemon, like...
We were also young at the time.
That's true, too, yeah. But I mean, like,
I believe Gen 3 is when it got started.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
At least, like, this underground metagame thing that we have going on with tiers and all that. Because abilities threw a big thing into the mix. And there was also consistent, you know, more types of weather in Gen 3 that changed things up.
Yes. But speaking of you being a gym leader, and I'll say this quickly because, you know, it's not technically related to Yellow. You can be a gym leader in Pokemon freaking the new Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, which is definitely my plan.
Yes. Make your own gym. Make your own secret base. Hey, kids, you can be a gym leader now. Buy our game. Buy the
game,
in the gym that you didn't like. Oh, explain that to Tristan.
Oh, so you haven't heard about it, Tristan?
No, I haven't heard about that.
All right, so one of the things that they're marketing off the new remake is that secret bases are being repackaged as super secret bases. That part sounds kind of dumb, but what it is that you have more customization in the little area as you did before, and once more, you get to battle people in there. But what's special is that you can now set your own battle rules for your secret base. So you can essentially turn your secret base into your own little personal gym.
Huh.
And create whatever battle rules you want so when people come in to face you, they face whatever team and whatever battle that you've chosen after you have them go through whatever the hell you make your base look like.
That's actually really cool.
It is an excellent selling point where all of us were just like, damn, that's smart.
And we'll make sure to get to that when the game comes out, because I know that both you and I, and of course I'm sure Tristan as well, will have the game immediately by the time it comes out, which is new for me, because I'm very behind. I just mentioned earlier in the show that I just got X. So I'm very behind when it comes to things like this. But
X is good. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I will. But from what I've seen thus far, I will enjoy it. But anyway, so, still talking about Pokemon, though. Something we didn't mention, strangely enough, because it's one of those weird things where you think, oh, it's common knowledge, but then you go, wait, no, maybe it's not. The idea that there are a couple of first Pokemon in the game. You know, there's Bulbasaur, there's Nidoking, there's... Explain that.
Yeah. Based on coding, because you argue about, like, what was coded into the game first and stuff like that. So Bulbasaur being the number one on paper, but was it Kangaskhan that was coded into the game first?
Actually, yeah, it might have been Kangaskhan. I don't know why I went into Nidoking.
Actually, got coded was Rhydon. I think Kangaskhan was second.
That sounds about right. I believe, it could have been Rhydon. I don't remember, but there's always a running joke about, like, which was the real first Pokemon? Because then you throw Arceus into the mix, and it's like, well, it's hard to say the chicken or the egg when you've got the god Pokemon in there.
Also, I believe Mew was also thrown in there as a joke.
Yeah.
So it's like
the
Mew,
ancestor of all Pokemon.
Yeah, Mew is the ancestor of all Pokemon. Arceus is supposed to be the creator of all Pokemon or something like that. So
yes.
You have the god Pokemon, the ancestral Pokemon, the first thing coded into the game in Rhydon, and then you have Bulbasaur, which is technically number one on paper. There is
yes.
no correct answer.
No, they're all correct.
They can't all be correct. You can't give people that kind of power.
And it's funny, like, talking about Arceus, there's actually a game, I don't know if either of you have played, but it's called Pokemon Conquest.
Yep.
Yeah.
I currently got it. I just got it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but towards the end of the game, like, the final battle, you fight against Nobunaga, who's
right.
basically trying to take over all the lands in his own name. Arceus basically comes down to you, you know, because you've proven yourself a pure warrior, and he aids you in the fight against Nobunaga.
That's
so basically
amazing.
It's God coming down and saying, you, kid, I'm going to help you out. Let's do this.
And then hopefully you didn't look at him and go, we are the real gods.
You know, it was really hard for me because I sat there and I'm like, bro, you have to understand this is weird for me. I'm an atheist. And Arceus is like, well, fuck you. I guess you're just doing this on your own, bro. And I'm like, but you're here. Like, this is your time to convince me. And I just, you know, and my game froze. And I've never actually finished the game because of that. But needless to say, it was really traumatic.
Yeah, I know. I would assume, how great would that be, though? Just choose your – I would make a game that way. Choose your response. Thank you. I've always believed in you. I'm actually an atheist. And depending on which one you choose, Arceus is like, and of course I've come to help you. Or the other one, he's just, like, spiteful. Well, you know what? Then this is where I'll be. Oh, you know, I guess if you believe that I'm not here, I guess I won't be here.
You just see my
gonna, you know,
shaking
over here.
His hand? Just like, I never believed in you. You were supposed to be perfect. And apparently you're vengeful. Just like an old man shaking fist gif. Damn you.
Yes.
No,
and then
like
now
the
Nobunaga
thing...
trashes you because you're not, you don't have a god on your side.
Yeah.
Arguably, that's the only reason you win.
Arguably, yeah, because at that point, Nobunaga actually has a shiny Rayquaza.
Yeah, he's got a ridiculously overpowered black Rayquaza to use. And
wow.
You start with, it was an Eevee that you start with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's kind of unfair without God. But on the other side... It's kind of unfair with God. So.
Yeah.
Which, either way, I think the game is trying to show. That's the only reason, actually, I'm sure, why the game got released in America. I'm all like, it's old feudal Japan. Why does it matter? We can sell God to children. Fund it.
Oh.
If God is on your side, you'll win. Fund it.
Although, I do like the fact that he leaves you after the fight. Instead of where, like, in the version...
Yeah, everything else would befriend you. But...
Yeah, the legend... You can go out and catch the so-called legendary Pokemon. It's like, but if... I mean, unless you're the fucking chosen one of the world of Pokemon, why does this, like, 10-year-old out of nowhere from Bumblefuck Nowhere Town come and catch the legendary Pokemon? Oh, because he suddenly got a Master Ball. Oh, because he's so great. It's like... Do you have some kind of mystical destiny that we're not aware of?
Yeah, like, we were
all
supposed to not overthink that, because you look at something like Emerald, where you could go the entire game and basically grab all of these legendaries that were given to you and not get a Feebas. And Melodic is really nice in its own right, but when you put that in perspective, like looking back, the legendary weather-stopping Rayquaza and Groudon and Kyogre that have caused a global battle between the forces of earth and water, you can have those, but a Feebas? Fuck that.
Still jumping back to Gen 1, I still want to mention the fact that you're given a Master Ball in the sense that it's like, hey, look, it's our prototype, I believe. Wasn't it a prototype? It wasn't like
it was
fully
a
developed.
Prototype by Slisco.
Yeah. You're given a prototype. Like, you know what? I mean, I got to be honest, kid. This could kill it. Like, I gotta be honest, kid. We don't know what this can do. Like, honestly,
this thing is fucking nuclear powered.
You know, you might as well be putting lipstick on a bunnery. Like, honestly, just take it. Like, we don't know what it's gonna do. Just have fun while doing it, and the Pokemon will understand while you hear it crying in fear.
No, it's funny that you mentioned the Master Ball, because as it makes me think back to a mechanic. I don't know if you mentioned this, but in Gen 1, do you remember that the Pokemon could basically, like, ignore your Pokeballs?
You know, I forgot about that, actually, because
you remember, like,
I don't think that ever happened.
You can't have that in the later ones, but, like, let's say you're fighting Mewtwo at full health in Gen 1.
Right.
If you throw, like, a Pokeball at it, it'll ignore it. It'll be like, Mewtwo, dodge the ball.
Yeah,
and
you missed the Pokemon, I think was the phrase.
Yeah, you missed the Pokemon. And that was so irritating because, like, I'm so glad they took that out because it was so hard to get them anyway. And so I think also, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure, you could throw your Pokeball at opponent's Pokemon and the trainer would block it and you would lose that Pokeball. But I think
I
you could also do that with the Master Ball.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I think I may have tried that as a joke.
I think
like,
you
well,
can throw your
terrible.
Master Ball at an opponent's Pokemon, and the trainer will block it, and you will lose your Master Ball.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I would hack a game where, and this is just me spitballing, if anyone who's listening lives with the Pokemon
already
community.
Been done.
Where what?
The Master Ball works on the opponent's Pokemon?
No, the Master Ball works on the trainer. Fuck that trainer.
What?
I'm trying to get off I caught
what?
The trainer.
That is oddly
well,
kinky. I hope it's a female trainer.
Just imagine that. Just you won the fight because the Pokemon is just standing there like, so can I go now? Am I free?
Where's my trainer? What'd you do?
That just reminds me of the creepy black hack that talks about the ghost that curses the Pokemon and then the trainer, and then they're removed from the map.
I think I've heard of that a bit. I know more of the silver one, because I know that actually made a hack
that's my favorite
on the silver.
One. Yeah, the Pokemon Lost Silver creepypasta / ROM is still my favorite one, because it's oddly creepy. But creepy black is basically the ghost sprite, if you remember from, like, you know, the Lavender Town thing.
Yes.
You're given that as a quote-unquote starter. And all it has is the move Curse. So as you play through the game, you can curse the opponent's Pokemon, which automatically kills them, and then curse the trainer, which removes them from the map.
Well, that's creepy as hell.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's called Creepy Black. It's not like Sunshine and Roses Black. It's Creepy Black. Fuck that.
But it's a copypasta, or it has been made? You sound like it was made into a hack.
It was made into a hack that I've played. It is kind of
interesting.
Creepy.
I want to play it now. But anyway,
no,
so sadly,
don't.
We are truly going to have to end this show now. We loved having you on, you know, Satish, because we didn't think we should have you on.
You could have thrown him a fucking bone. You could have been like, we love to have you here, Tristan.
Nope. You have to understand, this man currently has a game that still works with a shiny Celebi, a normal Celebi, three shiny birds, and what's the other thing, Pokemon that you have? I forgot, Tristan.
Surfing Pikachu and a shiny Suicune.
Surfing Pikachu.
Matt, I have 6 boxes of shiny Pokemon, and we're giving away some of them to our listeners. I feel like your anger is slightly misplaced here.
But let's bring it up again, shall we? Thank you for bringing that up at the end. We have ourselves a Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just Those Guys. You have ourselves a Twitter, Those Guys Radio, and we have ourselves a website that goes through Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. Through each website, you can get 2 shiny Pokemon, Halloween-themed, from us. It'll be a surprise which 2, but what matters is you like our Twitter, you like, you know, follow us on Twitter, you follow us on Tumblr, you like our Facebook. There is a chance that you can get 2 different Pokemon from each, you know, for each media account. So make sure to like them. And, of course, they're shiny, by the way. So that's also really cool. Shiny Halloween-themed Pokemon. And, of course, as I mentioned, yes, like us. On Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just Those Guys. Follow us on Twitter, Those Guys Radio. Follow us through Tumblr, which is our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. We have merchandise on there, which you should also get for Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, and Pokemon and X. You can reserve Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire on our site, or email us on thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, where you can talk to us about different promotional opportunities. And thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Adios. out.